Shalom to all. Today's after Yerushalmi Shabbos, Daf Kuf Daled, and we are starting near the top of the Halacha Beis and the Vilzer's Daf. It's all the way at the end of Pehei Amud Aleph. And today's Daf sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe, Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah says, Chavilei Kash, Chavilei Eitzim, Chavilei Zradim, bundles of straw, thin twigs of wood, and grapevines, Imiskino Machal Behema, Metalton Aysan. If he fixed them up for Machal Behema, meaning he intended to use them as animal food, so then he could move them because they're not Mokta, Vimla, but if not, Imetalton Aysan, he can't move them because they're not meant for animal food or for people. They're usually going to be used as fire starter or as little twigs for the furnace, and therefore he's not allowed to move them. Another din, one could take a basket and overturn it in front of little chicks so they could jump up and down on it. And the chiddush over here is that a kli is nitol, ledavar she'ina nitol, even though it can't hold the little chickies themselves because they're mukta, he could still move the basket for them. Another din, tarnagosha barcha, if a chicken ran away, he could push it until it goes back in. That's all he could do, just simply push it. He can't actually pick it up or even move it or shuffle it along on the sides, because then it's like he's carrying it. However, when it comes to different animals, the din is different. He can actually shuffle along young calves and colts in the Rosh Hashanah. That's when they need his help and they can't walk on their own. He can kind of hold them or help them along with their necks or by the sides of their body. That's shuffling them along. And since they need that help, it's permitted. And it's not considered like lifting them because they're basically walking on their own. And a woman could also shuffle her kid along the way in the Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda just clarifies, that's only when the kid picks up one leg and puts down the other, meaning he basically walks on his own, and his mother's just holding on to his arms to prevent him from falling. But if the mother actually has to drag her child, it's usher, because it's like she's carrying him. Now, if you remember at the end of the previous Gemara, we actually skipped a bunch of lines because they're relevant to this Gemara, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to about six lines up from before the Mishnah, which says, Amar Reb Zeira, and this is going on the beginning of our Mishnah. Amar Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira comments, Loi Asya El Krib Chanina. It must be that our Mishnah is like Reb Chanina. Damar, he had said, Oilen Hayinu Im Rebbe L'Chamas Gerar, we went up with Rebbe to Chamas Gerar, and he told us, choose for yourselves some stones, and you're going to be allowed to carry them tomorrow. So we see that just by designation alone, that I want to use these stones, that's enough to remove their mukta status. And it seems to be that's what our Mishnah is talking about as well. These chafile kash, eitzim, and zradim, simply by designation that you want to use them as animal food, already removes their mukta status, and you'd be allowed to use them. However, Amar B'Yosef, B'Yosef tried to be daicha that by saying, Shani Yahacha, the case of our Mishnah is different, shuhu kikise, because like a chair, these bundles of twigs and stuff from our Mishnah could actually be sat on if he wanted to, and therefore all he has to do is simply designate them as animal food, and that removes their mukta status. But other things that have no use, such as stones, it could be that you can't just designate them. Maybe you have to actually make a maisa tikkun to them in order to remove their mukta status. Now jumping to the beginning of our Gemara after the Mishnah, Hasam Reb Elazar asked Rabbi Yosa, but then our Mishnah said chavile kash, bundles of straw. But kash lekem afuzerhu, isn't straw considered scattered? You can't sit on a bundle of straw, can't be used as a chair, and so it must be that the reason why our Mishnah is saying that you could just simply designate it as animal food and that removes its mukta status is like Reb Chanina. Now the Gemara suggests Masisa Pligal Man D'Amar Kol Miuchel Isser Aser. The following Mishnah seems to be not like the Man D'Amar, that something that's designated for Isser is Aser, which means that if something was Aser for even a short amount of time on Shabbos, it's Aser for the whole Shabbos. For example, we had something that had mukta on it, even if the mukta was removed, that thing is still Aser. And the following Mishnah is going to show not like that. The Tanui of Mishnah tells us, if there's a stone on top of the mouth of a barrel, you could tilt the barrel to the side and the stone falls off, and that's mashma that after the stone is off of it, you could just pick up the barrel and carry it around wherever you want, which basically means that kol miuchel iser is not usser, even though it was usser while the stone was on there. Once the stone is off, you could carry it. However, if bas is b'shem rabchi barashi, then no, pasalo, we could explain as follows, b'shecheach, it's where he forgot the stone on the barrel, so never really made it usser because it was never miuchel iser, and therefore once the stone's off, you're allowed to carry it. Now we bring our Mishnah into the discussion. Masnisan pligal man damar kol sheyichadoy leisur aser. That's a proper girsa. Our Mishnah seems to be not like the man damar, that if something was miyuchid for iser, it's aser, which means if something is designated to be aser, or he specifically designated it for an aser purpose, then it's always going to be aser. Because what does our Mishnah say? The taninon kaifin salafne frechen shalvashiardu, that he's allowed to overturn a basket in front of little chickies so they could go up and down. And vitani Allah Baraisa was taught on that, alume lehen aser letaltala, that if they went up on their own, then it's aser to be metaltel, and that's even though he was not miyached the basket for it. They simply jumped up on the basket on their own, and he was never miyached it for that purpose. Nonetheless, it's still aser to move it. So it's clearly not like the man d'amar, kol sheyichadoy le'iser aser. Amar bun bar chiya kumi Reb Zeira, he tries to answer the tip here, we can explain as follows, but most, it's talking about where these little chickies, once they jumped up on the basket, they released their droppings on it, they made it disgusting, and that's why it's mukta. But if when they had jumped off, it was still clean, it wouldn't wouldn't necessarily be mukta. However, Amar Lehi responded to him, Vatani Rabbi Shai, Rabbi Shai teaches, Afilu sa, Afilu tarkov. They were even referring to a kli called a saw and a tarkov, not just a regular basket, but even these types of kalim that are used for measuring, and Islachamemar saw a tarkov musenhain. Could you say that a saw and a tarkov are considered most? They're disgusting. Even if the chicken releases its droppings on it, it's very easy to clean. You just shake it off, maybe take a towel and wipe it off. That's because of the material it's made out of. It's not going to get dirty like a basket will. And so how could you say that the reason why it's mukta is because it's most? It's not necessarily most. And so that's a question on this. And on Talacha Gimel, the Mishnah tells us, Ein miyaldan sabahim biyamtif. One is not allowed to birth an animal on yamtif, which means an animal is giving birth. He can't pull the child out of the animal because that's called tircha yaseira. That's too much tircha for yamtif. Aval masadin, but he could help it give birth. And we're going to explain the Gemara what that means. However, when it comes to humans, it's different. Umiyaldan asuisha b'shabes. One could birth a woman on Shabbos. V'karin l'chacham makom makom. A person could call a midwife for her from one place to another. Even if that midwife is coming from outside the Tchum Shabbos, we could still call the midwife for her. Umechal Shabbos. We can mechal Shabbos for her in other ways. V'kayshin esatibur. And we could tie the umbilical cord, because if not, it could be dangerous. Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, af chaytchin, one could even cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. And v'chotzer chemila osim b'shabbos. One's allowed to do anything necessary for a bris mila on Shabbos. Atokov da'aron beza on the top of the Gemara says, emialdan abehem v'chulu. And the question is, ezu asiyua. What does it mean to help the baby be born on Shabbos? And so there's a few different examples. Maybe yayin when a fechel sechaytmai, he could bring wine and blow it into the nostrils of the animal. It gets out the mucus. V'noisen yad elamata, he could place his hand underneath umekabloi and catch the animal as it comes out to prevent them from falling onto the floor and smashing. V'shoy mitadeha, he could take the animal's udders, v'noisen l'sech piv, and put it into the baby's mouth to help it nurse. And Rosh Hashanah, he tells us, af merachim al behem biyamtif, one is even able to be merachim, which basically means create love between the mother and the child on Yom Tov. Ketzad oseh, how does he do this? So it's referring to where the mother walks away from the baby and doesn't want to nurse it. So how does he get the mother to go back to it? Noisin gush shel melach al rachma, he takes a clump of salt and puts it on her womb. That causes her pain, and then she remembers, oh, I just had pain of childbirth. Oh, my baby needs to eat. Be right zelahanik bina, and because of that, she wants to nurse the child. Now, when they're talking about a human, v'karin lachacham makom makom, we had said that we could call a midwife for a woman who's giving birth from one place to another, even though she's coming from outside Tchum Shabbos and kaitanin taman. This is like what we learned over there in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It's the same thing. V'loizu b'vad, not just this. Elafil hacham abal yaled. Even a midwife that had come to help a woman give birth, she's actually allowed to walk around this area as if it's her city. We know that if a person walks out of their Tchum Shabbos past their 2,000 amas, they're stuck and they're only allowed to walk 4 amas in every direction, and that's it. But what the Mishnah over there is telling us, that if a woman came from outside the Tchum to help somebody give birth, she's considered like resident of this city and she's allowed to walk around freely. Continuing to explain the Mishnah, we said mechal on Lanas Shabbos. We can mechal Shabbos for a woman giving birth. Shmuel Amar Shmuel explains, Oysun la medura fil b'tkufas tamas. We can make a bonfire for her, which means we can basically create heat for her. Even if it's tkufas tamas, it's in the middle of the summer and it's hot outside, if this woman says, I need it to be hot in here, we can light a fire for her on Shabbos. And we said, v'kushin satibor, according to Tanakama, we could tie the umbilical cord, and according to Rabbi Yossi, we could even cut it. And we have a story about this. Kadah Masli de Bar Kapara, this is like the midwife of Bar Kapara, nafka miyado b'Shabbos. She went out to go help somebody give birth on Shabbos. Asas v'shalos Rebbe, she came and asked Rebbe, can I cut the umbilical cord? Amrullah, he told her, Azan v'shalon l'chayasa, go and ask other midwives in the area what the minig is. So Amrullah, she told him, lekachaya, there are no other midwives in the area. So Amrullah, he told her, zili avidi kimin hageich, go do like what the minig in your area is, whatever the minig is, that's what you could do. So Amrullah, she told him, like a minig, there's no official minig. Amrullah, so he told her, ezili chatech krebyesi, you can go and cut the umbilical cord like krebyesi v'ar Mishnah. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, oisin kol tzarchei mila b'shabes, that we could do anything necessary for bris mila on Shabbos. However, the Gemara fixes the girsa. Kainim asnisa, this is really what the Mishnah should say, v'chol tzarchei chayo nasin b'shabes, that all things necessary for the woman who gave birth were allowed to do those things on Shabbos. Mila is discussion in the next parak, so really we shouldn't be gars mila in our Mishnah. And one more thing about childbirthing on Shabbos, Tani was taught in a b'risa, hashilya hazois b'shabes, this placenta of the child, what do they do with it on Shabbos? So hashirin, tamin son b'shemen, wealthy people would put it in oil. This was some sort of segula that helped the baby get better. V'anim and poor people, tamin son b'teven, they put it in straw. Now v'chayil, during the week, elu ve'elu tamin son b'aretz, both of them, rich and poor, put it in the ground, k'deilitin eravon la'aretz, in order to give a deposit to the ground. This is basically symbolic of the fact that we know that everyone's going to eventually go into the ground after 120, everyone passes away. So burying the placenta of the child is basically giving it a deposit, saying, this kid is going to come to you after 120 years. Hajjan al Parakim Fanin, Malzara finishing the 18th Parakim Sechel Shabbos, just like Ruzecha finished this Parak together, we should Ruzecha finish the entire Masecha together, and of course, all of Shas Yerushalmi together. And now we move on to the next Parak. Rebbe Lezer Oymer, Rebbe Lezer says, Im loy hevi kli me'er of Shabbos, mevi'o b'Shabbos Megula. If a person did not bring the kli'er of Shabbos, he could bring an on Shabbos open. This is talking about a bris milah. We know the bris milah itself is doicha Shabbos. That's based on a pasuk that tells us ubayoyim hashmini yimer b'sar lasoi, that on the eighth day a child has to have a bris, and that's mashma even if the eighth day is on Shabbos. And Rabbi Elazar is saying that if the milah knife wasn't brought to the proper place before Shabbos, it could be brought on Shabbos, and he should do so migula, open, meaning he's carrying it out in the open so that everyone sees that he's doing this for the mitzvah. However, b'sakana, if it's a time of danger that he can't carry the knife in the open, b'chasei al pi edem, he has to cover it, but in front of edem, which means he has to have edem that know that he's carrying a milah knife. That's because we don't want other people to suspect that he's just carrying stuff for his own personal benefit. Now, the item Reb Elazar is another thing. Karsan etzem lasis pecham lasis barzel. On Shabbos, if he doesn't even have a milah knife, he's allowed to cut down wood in order to be able to make coals, in order to use those coals to make iron to make a milah knife, which basically means that machshiri milah are daicha Shabbos. Any preparatory things that are needed for the milah are also daicha Shabbos, even though they could have been done on Erev Shabbos. However, Klal and Rabbi Kiva argues with Rabbi Elazar and says a rule: Kol melacha shevshalo lasim Erev Shabbos, any melacha that was able to be done on Erev Shabbos, ain't no daicha Shabbos. It's not daicha Shabbos. It's only milah shevshalo lasim Erev Shabbos. The bris milah itself couldn't have been done on Erev Shabbos because the eighth day is on Shabbos. So then daicha Shabbos, that's daicha Shabbos, but no machshire milah. So now we get into a big discussion about this. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, Imrim lehevi kliva chulo, and Rabbi Yechon Reichon says, Havinat sovereign meimar. Originally, we thought to say, b'chol advarim b'chol k'Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Elazar argues with all things that anytime we're talking about a mitzvah that's allowed to be done or needs to be done on Shabbos, not only is that mitzvah doicha Shabbos, but the machshirim, the preparatory things necessary for that mitzvah, could be done on Shabbos also. However, mashat tzarich Rabbi Elazar lejesh bikurin, from the fact that Rabbi Elazar needed to make a special drasha by bikurin, this is specifically referring to the shtei halechem, the two breads made out of wheat that were brought on Shavuos, and he had to make a special drasha about them. The ma bikurin shener ba'omer doichnas Shabbos, just like the bikurin that's mentioned by the carbon omer, that's doicha Shabbos, that we could cut the carbon omer on Shabbos. We know this from a different drasha. Af bikurin shener b'shtei alechem, so to the word bikurin that's said by the shtei alechem, doichnas Shabbos, all preparatory things necessary for it are doicha Shabbos as well, not just baking it, but sifting it and things like that are also doicha Shabbos. So Adamer that tells us loy b'chol advarim b'chol k'Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Elazar doesn't argue with all machshirei mitzvah, because if he argued in regards to all machshirei mitzvah that they're always doicha Shabbos, there'd be no reason to have a special drasha of bikurim. From the fact that we have that special drasha, that shows that he only argues over here and a few other places, but not in every situation. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this and what Rabbi Elazar really holds regarding machshirei mitzvah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.